Brother Tom said that when we see him, we should be like him. And then he said that he had a revelation. He didn't have to wait till that day, but we could start now. The reason he can start now is because we can see him now. And as we start seeing him, we will start being changed to be like him. You know, really, you can look at him without seeing him. Dr. James Brown of the Presbyterian Church said that he had enough theology in the Presbyterian Church to get a doctor's degree in theology. But he said, I never knew him. He was not like him, for he never really saw him. If you want to see him, you can't just see the man of Galilee. You can't just see someone who ascended. You have got to see him as he is, with spiritual eyes that perceives him in all his truth and light, to see what he is essentially. And the being that he is, the work of his spirit that is going forth. I want to bring a very short message tonight. I'll bring it right now. I've entitled it, Eyes That See and Eyes That Don't. The psalmist said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. And he said, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now I want you to notice something. He's talking about the word. The word is the expression and will of God. It is God's heart. And he says, if you know the word, you'll know God's heart. You'll know God's mind. He says the word is like a lamp that causes my feet to know where to step. And it gives light unto the pathway that is before me. And the entrance of your word gives light. But it takes more than light to see. It takes sight as well as light. Light is a type of knowledge in the word. Without the knowledge of God's word, we are in darkness. When we get his word, we get light. The coming of knowledge is like the rising of the sun. A great light comes to us. But many Christians receive light from the pulpit, from the Bible, for years and still cannot see. Many do not see what they hear with the hearing of their ears. The light is brought right unto their minds, but they cannot see. I don't mean they cannot intellectually understand, but they cannot really perceive in a heart way that will change their life. You know, you can read a scripture for years and have it read to you for years, and all of a sudden you read it and you go, praise God, hallelujah. You go on and you say, brother, can I show you the scripture with you, you know? And people say, "What? Behold, what manner of man is this?" You know, he's all excited about the scripture over here he's going to read. And he reads it, he says, oh, isn't that wonderful? The person looks at him and says, they're all wonderful, you know. Yeah, praise God, they're all wonderful. I mean, what, you know? He has, all of a sudden, he can see the light that is coming to him. See, light does not cause the blind to see. The Philippian jailer was not blind. And he sprang into the cell and he called for a light that he might see. And salvation came to his house that day. He wasn't blind, he was just in darkness. All he needed was light to see, because he was not blind. But all the light of the sun couldn't help Samson to see when he was blind, grinding at the millstone. It's always night to a blind man. And it's always day to a man with a lamp if he can see. Sermons bring light, but only the Spirit of God can cause us to see. We need spiritual enlightenment upon the Word of God, or else the Word of God becomes a light to the blind. The light comes to our mind, but the seeing is in the heart. The Pharisees looked straight at the light of God, Jesus Christ, the light of God. Jesus said, I am the light. But alas, they were blind. They could not perceive the light. Not one ray of that light ever hit their hearts. But to those it did, it melted, and their eyes filled with tears, and their hearts overflowed with joy. And they gave their lives to him, and they walked with him. I want to share a few scriptures in closing. Luke 24:45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now you see, the scripture says that thy word is a light under my path, and he says that the entrance of thy words giveth light. Now they had been reading the word of God. They had been hearing the word of God. But now, all of a sudden, he opened their spiritual understanding, and then they understood what they always thought they understood. But now they understood it in a new way and found there was a lot more in it, and they found that it was life unto them. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. And then this little clause, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. He opened her heart, and she saw. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel, the good news, be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In other words, he says, it's not the gospel that's lost, the other one that's lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There is the key right there. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, the light was there, but he blinded the mind that the light might not shine unto them. He made them blind. The devil made them blind. So they could not see. Satan does not feel light if he can keep his victim sightless, blind. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. There are so many today that cannot understand truth because Satan has blinded their minds. He may have blinded their minds by the spirit of compromise. He may have blinded their minds by the spirit of popularity. He may have blinded the mind by the spirit of pride, or by the love of money, or by the lust of the flesh, or by any one thing, anything that you hold between you and God, Satan can use to blind your mind. If you are not willing to pay any price to know truth, that unwillingness can blind your mind and keep you from truths for the rest of your days. There are many who will never enter in to many precious truths of God because they're unwilling. Down through the history of time, there has been new revelations given to the church, and there's always been the come-outers, and we're remaining where we are. Because they are not willing to shake up the status quo. I have witnessed to people in the engineering department, the Boeing company where I worked, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they were open because it was interesting, because it was a new doctrine in the wind, because something was happening, they were hearing about it in their church. And so they wanted to know what it was and what it amounted to and what kind of scriptures can you give. They were open. In fact, a lot of them. But as soon as they understood what it was and they came to a conclusion and then they looked to see what it was going to cost them with their mates and their churches and their friends, they flipped over, closed up. You couldn't get a scripture in NYs. They weren't a bit interested from that moment on. I watched them one after one, wide open until they saw it was true. It wasn't wide open until they saw it wasn't true. Wide open until they saw fully, it was fully convinced that it was true. And now they had to decide, what am I going to do about this? And at that moment, they became closed. That blinded their eyes that they might not see. Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. They closed their eyes so they wouldn't see. You see, that's ridiculous. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a literal example. We had a woman in this church by the name of Kathy Ward, and had a husband, Bob Ward, and had a boy named Bruce. And he had one leg that was twisted. And this is before this church was formed. And we were witnessing to them. And through my witness, we brought Kathy and Bob into the faith. And we would take him to another church where we were going. And Brucey had one leg that was twisted this way. And when he ran, he was a late walker. When he ran, he would stumble and fall. And I can't remember the story now. They were coming to a home for Bible studies and going to the church. And one day, down at the church, I believe, I can't remember this exactly, and I don't remember if they asked me to pray or whether I just felt to pray, but we went over, and I went over and got another elder, an old elder in the church, and asked him if he would pray with me for this boy's leg. So him and I walked over, and we prayed for him, and he put his hand on his knee, and we prayed for him. And I didn't see, you know, feel anything or see anything particular at the time. And he was shaking his leg like this. You know, I thought, well, you know, he's, you know. But then he said, you know, something's happened to this boy. That evening, Kathy came and said, Don, he says, Lucy has been running all afternoon. He'd run and say, see, Mama? And he'd take off running again. And the next Friday night, we had a Bible study. She brought him. And she pulled up his pant legs and showed everybody in the Bible study. They had seen how his leg was, foot was crooked, two straight legs. She took him over to the neighbor's house, who knew him very well, of course, neighbor lady. And she said, let me show you what God has done for Brucey. And she witnessed to him and pulled up his pant leg and she refused to look at it. She said, I don't believe that stuff. She said, well, look and see. You know what he was like. Look, I want you to see. And she even held the boy. She refused to look with her eyes at his legs, lest she see. She refused. She said, she refused to look. She didn't believe in that, and she wasn't going to look. She was afraid she might find something that would tear down all of her unbelief and cause her to believe in something she decided not to believe in. Therefore, she could not see. The scripture says that when Paul and Barnabas preached, the people stopped their ears, put their fingers in the ears so they couldn't hear the words that were coming to them. There's an example in history here where Whitfield was preaching in America. He came from England. And he preached with a powerful anointing. He was an eloquent man, the one they called the golden voice, master of the pause. A person with perfection in speech. He preached to crowds of 10,000 without megaphones. He didn't have them in those days. Large crowds. He preached to larger crowds than anyone else. He had a built-in megaphone. A man by the name of Benjamin Franklin came to hear him on at least three occasions. He heard him. Benjamin Franklin even wrote of this man's ability. And he said, even without my mind... He said, even without a person's mind believing in what the man spoke, his very oratory was such that it would tend to convince you. Of course, he didn't realize that there was something else that was tending to try to convince him, but he was fighting it. He never did see the light. Many who came and Hood Whitfield came into the truth of God, bowed their heart, bowed their knee, humbled themselves, confessed their sins, became Christians. But Benjamin Franklin would never bow his heart. He would not open up. He could not see. You know, you have some friends and relatives like that. They cannot see no matter what they see. I've had skeptics come up when we prayed for people and had a leg that much shorter than the other. And they stood right there and watched you go, boom, just jump out. Hold me, watch me hold my hands right there, not moving them. I said, now, do you believe that? They refused to answer. Did his leg grow out? And they would not answer. Did you see it move? And they would not answer. There are some people who can see and believe not. They come in and they see the changes of life in someone. They see how God has made a change. They see what God is doing. They see power with God, and they cannot see it. Haven't you ever taken the word to somebody and piled it sky high, made it so clear, put big lights all around it, shone on it, painted them illuminescent, and beat the drums and blow the bugle and show it to them, and they could not gainsay or resist it and still couldn't see it? I've had Jehovah's Witnesses, two of them at least, to a place where they could not answer, absolutely, totally stuck, and were in great confusion, and I kept putting pressure on them. And he was stuck, and why do you make such a big deal of it? I said, because you said, just admit you're wrong, and we'll go on. I said, but you've got to see this, that you're willingly dishonest. You said Jesus Christ was not risen in the flesh, and this scripture put to death in the flesh and risen, and this scripture says he was. Now, do you believe it or don't you? Is this scripture of God or is it not? And he would squirm, and he'd be in periods of silence, and he went through agonies inside, and I kept pushing the spirit and turning it. And I kept pressing him, And he wanted to go on to something else, and I wouldn't let him go on to something else. And I kept pressing him with his scripture. And he was sweated over the thing, and he didn't like it, and he was stuck. And I said, listen, you're wrong. The Jehovah Witnesses are wrong. Admit the wrong in this point, and we'll go on. He would not. And so I finally let him go out the door and said, brother, it doesn't do any good to talk any further, because you can see you do not want to see. And you know when you walk at a door from now on and you knock at that door, know that you are a dishonest witness who doesn't know, have any answers against the, is bringing something that you know the scriptures do not back up, and you cannot gainsay the scriptures, and yet you are willingly dishonest. I said, no, every time you knock at a door, you're a dishonest man going to that door, preaching something that you cannot prove, and answer questions being brought to you cannot answer. And with that, I let them go. See, they cannot. They cannot see. It doesn't do any good to preach to a fence post. No sense in going to hours Bible study when they get to that place. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 8:17-18. Oh, Mark 8. Mark 8:17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart been hardened? He spoke something to them. They saw things, and they reasoned within themselves, verse 16 says, saying, it's because we have no bread. He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye? Because we have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your hearts been hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? when I break the five loaves and so forth. And then in verse 21 he says, how is it that you do not understand? In other words, you should understand. The reason you can't see is because your hearts are hardened. The last scripture is John 12, 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I shall heal them. See with their eyes, understand with their heart. And he said he has allowed this to happen to them because were not willing to see. They were not willing to heal. Now, seeing the truth in God's word, in the mind, will not change a soul. You will not be changed just by seeing a truth that's here. We have preached many truths. Some of you have not received and understood those truths. And understanding with your mind didn't change you found out. Have you found out that you can understand things and not change you? Because you've got to see it with your heart. We must be desirous and willing to act upon the light in order to really see it with the heart. Many witness, but those they witness to cannot see it because they don't want to. You see, even Christ could not convince them when he walked among them. Jesus Christ could not convince them. And if Jesus Christ could not convince them, how can we convince them? If he could not, and Paul could not. You see, logic and argument will not convince your friends. Though you may have some, I'm going to say it this way. We have some friends, and I don't mean this by, I just want to say it. So some people think that they can, can help your friends in California and Oregon by, if you can just get to them because you used to know them and you had some truck with them, and if you can just give them logic and talk to them and show them, I'm going to promise you that your logic will not change until they want to see and open their hearts. They will not be able to see on the particular point in question. And this is true with anybody. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You have to open your mind and heart if you want to know truth. If you don't want to know truth, you're like the theologian that said, who was fighting the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And he said, I could see every reason in the world why it wasn't so. Now, he says, I can see every reason why it is so. This book is made that way. Some people say, you can interpret any old way you want. Well, you can, but not faithfully. But it is true, you can see anything you want in this book. But if you want what God wants, you'll see it the right way. There's only one way to interpret it. There's only one way to walk with God. And that is willing to walk with God. Then you can see it.